ourselves and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I know the last couple of Sundays we've been talking about building our faith, and I want to kind of continue on that line of building our faith to believe, building our faith to believe. But then now I want to cross over into something else, just building our faith to believe, but then doing what God says to do, okay? We got to build our faith to believe, and that we know we get by the Word of God. Our trust in him, our trust in the word. But also we need to come across a little bit and do what he says for us to do. You know, I know the last couple of Sundays, we've been talking about Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I know I went through many miracles and many things that God has done through his word that astounds me as I read it. You know, we talked about how God healed Peter's mother-in-law with that fever. We talked about how God fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. We talked about how the lepers were healed and only one came back to thank Jesus. We talked about how God built up the faith of David to believe that he could defeat Goliath. How God, and also last week, how God healed the man with a withered hand. And how God has done so many things through his word. That the word of God says that in order to build our faith to believe, we got to get that word in us. That's why the enemy does not like for you and I to open that word, because it brings defeat to the enemy. To believe God for the impossible, and then to act upon what God wants and what God tells us to do. You know, I told Jelaine this the other day. This week, I went up to somebody's house and put in their mail, and Jelaine has met these two old ladies. But one of them came out and said, she out of the blue, she opened the door, literally opened her door. I have her mail waiting for her. That's how we do it. We don't put it in the box. Walks out and says, I want to build my faith. What? I said, well, you know what the Bible says? And I was able to quote Romans 10:17 to her about what the scripture says, because she's on the borderline. She does some Scientology stuff, which is not good. I said, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Was able to share with her how God says in order to have faith, there's nothing we can do except go to his word, read it, consume it, meditate upon it. That builds the barometer or the faith level in our lives to believe God and then act upon what God has for us to do. The mighty hand of God sharing with her. And I said, you know what? The Bible I've been reading, you know, I've been reading, I said, my wife and I have been reading this Bible for the last 5 or so years. And I said, it's from Jimmy Swaggart Bible, where he takes the scriptures, and then in the middle of the scripture he explains what it says. And I said, if you want one, we'll get you one. You know, you never know when you say Jimmy Swaggart what's going to happen. You know, like no one else has sinned before, okay? You know, but she looked at me and she said, oh, I'd love it. I said, man, look at this, look at this, look at this. God, what are you doing? And, you know, and we hadn't been able to get it to her yet, but it's coming. You know, we're going to get it to her. Building her faith. You see, so as people are going to come to you, I'm telling you, they're going to say, how can I build my faith? The simplicity of the gospel tells us how. You know, we don't have to starve to death. We don't have to walk on glass. We don't have to do all these evil things that the world tries to do. But all we got to do is put our faith in Christ and read His Word and get it in our spirits, get it in our souls, get it in our minds. And that faith builds up to believe God, what God has already intended for us to do and to have and to act upon it. That's the power of Almighty God, to believe Him for what He wants for us and to see it come about. The power of God. John 21:25, as we read last week, it says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." There were so many things that Jesus did in that 3.5 years of ministry that not even the world's at that time, the world itself could contain, the books could contain what Jesus had done, what Jesus had said, the miracles, the signs, the wonders of Almighty God. That's powerful to impact a world like this man did. But we know He's God. He was God. Thank you. How many times Jesus said, "Your faith has made thee whole"? How many times do we see that in Scripture where He goes to do something and He says, "Your faith has made thee whole. Your faith has made thee whole. Your faith has," I mean, countless times in the Scriptures, "Your faith has made thee whole." That means faith in Christ. Not faith in anything else, but in Christ, in what Jesus could do and how Jesus could heal. Their faith in Him and what God can do. See, the Word of God is like fertilizer to our souls, people. It nourishes us. It brings health. It brings life. It brings the Spirit of God on the inside of us. You know, that's just like you put fertilizer, you know, for your plants and you... and all that. It helps to bring nutrition to it. It helps bring life to it. That's what the Word of God does to us. It brings life, is the life giver to the Christian, that Word of God. And so that's why the enemy just can't stand having the Word of God being preached, having the Word of God being sealed in people's hearts and souls, because he knows it will defeat him in his attempts and what he tries to do. Jesus is the Word. So when we use his name, is the Word of God that's cutting to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the things that the enemy is trying to do. The power of God, the presence of God, the anointing of God, what God can do. I want you to turn, if you would, to Jonah chapter 1, please. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I want to look into the principles or the events of Jonah. You know, Jonah was a prophet. God is always interested in building our relationship with Him and in building our faith in Him. In Him. In Him. In Him. That's the key. Building our faith in Him. You know, last Sunday, we were outside, and, you know, I always go outside and talking with people and stuff. And somebody came up to me and was saying something that the Lord had showed them about our church. And I said, "Praise God." And I remember turning around and saying, "Lord, give me the faith to believe. Give me the faith to believe. What God has ordained, it is done. But he's looking for people to have faith in him, to believe it, and to making it come about. It's done according to what Jesus has said. But we have to believe him and build our faith in him to believe those things. Jonah, like I said, was a prophet. It says that Jonah, God had spoken to Jonah many times and had done many things in his heart and life. The book of Jonah is only, I think, four chapters. But seven times, as you can see in verse 1, the comment it says, seven times in the book of Jonah, it says that either God said, the Lord said, or God told Jonah, something to that effect. Seven times. That means God, Jonah was not just obeying whoever, but he was disobeying God when he went and left and didn't do at first what God wanted him to do. But it says seven times, which is a great, which seven means what? That's God's number is seven. Seven is a number of completion. Seven is God's number. Seven times God in the scriptures, in Jonah, it says that we know of, that either God said or God told him or whatever, the Lord said. And so we need to realize that was very important. Look at verse 1 and 2. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. See, God is a even in the Old Testament, God was merciful. Now, he's more merciful now because of the blood of Jesus, till Jesus comes back and stuff. But he was so merciful to this city, the city of Nineveh. Nineveh, as you can read it in chapter 4, in the comments, it talks about the population of Nineveh. And in the comment, it says that it's the population of Nineveh was about 500,000 people. That's a lot of people. They say it was around 64 miles wide. So God is speaking to the prophet Jonah to go to this city and cry unto them. That means preach repentance. Preach unto the city. Because God was requiring him to go because God knew they were on a track of being destroyed from the inside out, being destroyed. And God was having mercy upon this city, upon Nineveh. And here we see Jonah gets the report from our God and saying, go to that city and cry unto them. That means preach to that city. And what does Jonah do? He ran to this ship, got on it, was going to Tarshish. And we know that wasn't good. Anytime God gives you a command, anytime God speaks to you, do what he tells you to do. I know sometimes we might say, well, I'm not sure if it's the Lord or not. And I can understand that. But I tell you what, when you know without a shadow of a doubt that God speaks to you something, God is wanting to use you to build your faith in him to act upon what he says to do. Do what he says to do. Act upon it. Fulfill what God has for you because he counts you worthy to get the job done. It's an amazing thing. Did God call an angel? No. Who did God call? Jonah, the prophet. A human being. We have the responsibility to go and herald the word out and tell people about Jesus Christ, like Andrew's doing, you know, in that scenario of the prison, going in there, because God is having mercy upon those prisoners. We don't know what's going on in there for certain, but we know there must be people that are crying out, men and women crying out to God and saying, Lord, give me hope. And Andrew can go in because he has the knowledge of the word of God and knows what God can do and give these people, these young men and some elderly men, I guess, and women, a hope, saying Jesus is your hope. There's no other door but Jesus. And that's what, you know, and what's an amazing thing is this. Nineveh was a Gentile city. And that's the first recorded time ever that we know of in Scripture that God calls a prophet, of a man of God, to go into a Gentile city and preach to it. That's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of God. You know what? I know this. There must have been, in that 500 or so thousand people, there must have been somebody crying out to God. And God will never leave a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl hanging. Never. When someone calls upon God, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will open doors that have been shut. He will open it. And He will make a way that they can find Him. Call upon Him. I'm reminding Otis again about your family. One day I need you to share that up here. But he got up and he just preached the gospel. Marjorie said 10, 15 minutes. At a funeral. Let me tell you what. That's an amazing thing to me. I'm telling you. To know what was preached before that, I know was not truth. But to stand up and say the truth of the gospel is Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. Let me tell you, that's good. When you stand up in the stores and in the schools and on your workplace and you tell people it's Jesus Christ and no other way. It's Jesus Christ and no other way. It's accepting Jesus and no other way. Look, man, that's great with God. Because He wants His people to know that it's only Him. We have a lost and dying world that's craving for the truth of the gospel. That's craving for truth. And we have it. So wherever you are, don't back away. Stand up. Yeah, your knees might be shaking a little bit, but that's okay. And you might be a little nervous, and that's okay. But I tell you what, when you open your mouth, the Spirit of God will take over. And the Spirit of God will move. And the Spirit of God will convict. And the Spirit of God will save people. That's the power of God. It's not us to save people. It's us to just tell people. That's all God said. What did God say? Jonah, cry, go cry. Which means to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Get to preach it. Preach it. That's the power of Almighty God. And we know the story. So you might say, you know what? We're not too bad. A prophet ran from God, huh? Let us put us in the good side, on the good side. A prophet, which we think, you know, prophets, you know, the fivefold ministry. You know, prophets are, God calls prophets. Thank you, Lord. But even a prophet ran. So don't feel so bad when you run from God sometimes. Or we run from God. Or maybe that not so much run from Him, but run from the call that He set before us. You know, have you ever had the opportunity to share the gospel and you just didn't do it? You know, you didn't open and say, that's okay. We have the blood of Jesus. We go to God, we ask for forgiveness, and we say, Lord, give me another opportunity, Lord. Help me to share the gospel. Help me to share the gospel. Help me to share the gospel. That's the power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. One of the things that Jonah was telling, finally when he got there, well, we'll get back to that. It says that he was going on a ship to Tarshish. And it says that God brought a wave, a storm, and the ship, they said really the ship wasn't that far off the shore. But God wanted to get his attention before he got too far away. That's God. He'll get us our attention. Building our faith in Him, people. Building our faith in Him. You know, I've often prayed, Lord, show me if there's something wrong. Lord, help me, you know, to get, if I'm off track, to get back on track, Lord. Don't let me be swayed to the left or to the right, but keep me on the right and narrow path, Lord. And it says that the winds came and blew. And everybody on the ship saying, who is it? And here, old Jonah was in the belly of the ship sleeping. He knew it was him. He knew. We know when God calls us, huh? And when God speaks to us, we know it. And it says that the captain ran down and he said, hey, man, why are you sleeping? Call on your God. Ooh. And Jonah finally confessed to them that it was his fault. Can you imagine his fault for why all those men on that boat might die? They pulled lots and ended it was him. And they took Jonah and they threw him over on the other side of the ship. And it says his great fish came. You know, some think it's, you know, Jonah and the whale. It could be a whale. We know it's a huge fish that was waiting by God. That fish got there when Jonah stepped up on that ship and bought that ticket. And God said, okay, fish, like, right here. And he parked and waited. He parked and waited, and all of a sudden when they threw him over, he came and grabbed him. And he stayed for 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. And even in the scripture it says it was like hell. It wasn't hell, but it was like it. Can you imagine being a place dark, gloomy, all kind of stuff all over? You can't see. I mean, it just, for 3 days and three nights, God wanted to show Jonah, when I speak to you, when I call you, when I build your faith, you do what I tell you to do. You do what I tell you to do. And it took 3 days and three nights to humble Jonah and to get him to a place that when that fish vomited him up on that beach, that he would run to Nineveh to cry unto that city and preach unto that city. After 3 days and three nights of calling upon God. And sometimes we do that too. We call upon God and we're saying, God, where are you? When we know we made some mistakes, huh? But we're saying, Lord, have mercy. Have grace upon us, Lord. Help us. Help us. Help us. Give life, Lord God. Show us things. Reveal to us, Lord. He called upon him. And every time somebody calls upon God, in the old and new, God is there. And that was his prophet. And how much more does he take care of his children? Because he loves his children. He loves you. He loves you. You are precious to him. We're all different. I mean, none of us, you know, we kind of maybe resemble each other because families, you know, resemble. But none of us look exactly alike. We're different. That's the character of our God. It's an amazing thing how you can, you know, you know, you go to an Asian country, you know, or you see, to me, they all look alike. You know, I don't know how they tell them apart. You know, I don't know. But to them, they probably look at us and say, we all look alike. And we're saying, no, we don't. But God has made everybody different throughout the world because of his love for us. And we all have the same character. We resemble our God. And it says this in Scripture. I want to go to, let's see. Go to chapter 2, please. Then Jonah prayed, verse 1, unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and you heard my voice. Go to verse 10, please. And it says, and the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Amazing thing. Amazing. Look at this. I want to read chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, now that's after he had that experience, people. You know how sometimes, when you go through something, your heart gets tender when God deals, huh? Maybe we messed up and we didn't do what God said, and so we repent, and the Spirit of God comes in and our hearts are tender before Him. Can you imagine 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing? He didn't know the fish would vomit him up. He didn't know, people. We know the story. But he didn't know what would happen. He probably thought that he would die. That was it. But God had mercy and grace, and his heart was tender. So God came back again and said this, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you." That means he was to say what he was supposed to say, and that was, "Yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown." And he was to declare that. "Yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, and the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king in Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yes, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works. He saw their repentance, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Here we see, he starts to proclaim, in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. Repent, repent. He started to say that to the people, and people started to put on sackcloth. That means a time of repentance. That's what it, sackcloth and ashes of repentance. It even got to the king, which was important, which you have to realize, Nineveh, if you look at Nineveh, that was an evil city. Evil. I can't even go into what they did. It was evil, 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 evil. Of what they did to people and things and other cities, and horrible, horrible things and evil. But God had mercy upon them. God saw something in some of them. And all of a sudden it says that the king took off his robe. That's significant. He's king. He took off his robe in repentance and laid it down before God. Put on sackcloth and ashes and went into repentance. What he was saying was, "I'm not king anymore, but Father, you're king." He was laying his kingship down in order to have mercy from God. Now, I don't know, but to me, that king had a soft heart. Something happened there. And I don't know if it was him. I don't know if it was him that cried unto the Lord. I don't know. That God had mercy and grace. He built up the faith of Jonah. And yet in the meantime, he saved a city from being destroyed. Because God, I know it says that God repented. That doesn't mean he sinned. That just, he turned from his way of bringing destruction upon that city. And God had mercy and grace upon the town, upon the city. That's the kind of God we serve. Look what God can do, people. Look what God can do. Don't ever think that one person is too hard for God to break. The Spirit of God can do it. I know the outward appearance may look rough, and it may look like God can't do it, but let me tell you, God can do it. God can break a man, and God can break a woman and bring them to repentance. God is saying, come on, church, call upon me, and let's see what I can do. Let me show you what I can do, how I can break people, bring them to repentance, how they can call upon me. As the king came around, the king of that town, of that city, what God can do will amaze us as we trust in him, as we put our faith in him, as Jonah finally had to do. There's nothing impossible with God. God can make it happen. We just have to trust him. Lord, build my faith, and Lord, let me act upon what you call me to do. Lord, build my faith, and let me act upon the direction you give me. Lord, build my faith, and let me act upon my prayers towards my family members that don't know God. Lord, how do you want me to pray? What do you want me to do? Because God is looking for a people that will declare the praises of his son to this lost generation. Let God be God like never before. Amen. You may stand, please. Oh, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we worship you and we praise you and we honor you this day. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know God? Do you know God? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you would have not done so and you'd like to do so, please raise your hand so we can pray with you. Amen. Amen. Looks like everybody here has accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Let's pray together, all, because we may have people watching or going to watch it during the week, and we want to give them that opportunity through Facebook and stuff, okay? Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my Lord, my God, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my God. And I accept you as my Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may look this way. Look, guys, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you, and we love you. And we pray you have a great week. So